Hello again and welcome back. Today we are joined by award-winning hygienist Anna Middleton. She started her brand, London Hygienist, with the aim of changing how oral healthcare is delivered to patients. We're going to be talking about social media and how it can successfully be used in the dental setting. So since 8th of June, dental practices have been gradually opening their doors again for face-to-face care. How have you been preparing?
I, at first, wasn't really doing too much because we were just sort of waiting around for so long for some sort of clear guidance and instructions and some help. And it's been quite difficult because you read one thing and then the next day it's a completely different, you know, story. So rather than sort of like getting bogged down with the noise of, say, you know, like WhatsApp groups and like Facebook, I've just sort of like waited and allowed my teams and the companies I work with to sort of decide what their plan of action was. But then obviously it's given me time to sort of like audit my business and audit my life. So for me, getting ready to go back, I've worked on things like my website. I gave it like a fresh look, you know, updated the sort of like the colors and fonts so it could have a new feel to it. I've been working on creating like custom patient information leaflets as well. So, you know, things to give my patients when I go back. Lots of little things that I've been trying to work on for a long time and perhaps didn't necessarily have the time. And then in terms of just sort of getting ready to go back, you know, I've been fit tested with the team, you know, running through all the sort of protocols, procedures, how things are going to operate. I'm going to pop into work as well, spring clean my my locker, which everyone jokes and calls a dental warehouse. So I need to just, you know, do those little things as well. And I want to just get, you know, all my instruments sorted out, all my equipment that I use, just so like, we're, you know, going forward, it's really, really streamlined. And just help and support the teams in any way possible, really.
So, I mean, over this time, you've found the time to do things that you have been wanting to do for a long time, but just haven't found the spare time to do it.
Yeah, I think for me, I really enjoy being kept busy. And obviously, at the start of lockdown, we didn't really know how long this was going to go on for. So there was that sort of initial period of like, well, I'm just going to lie in every day and have a bit of a holiday. And then that moved into like, okay, now I actually need to crack on and do some stuff. And I just sort of broke it down in sections. So something I've been wanting to do for a long time is like sort of deep clean my flat and, you know, like sort out all my wardrobes, my drawers, like my office. You know, I feel over time you all of a sudden you just, the amount of things you accumulate, and it's all stuff that I was like, oh, I'll do that on the weekend, I'll do that on the weekend. It was just never getting done. So I tried to sort of split my week up. So I would try and do work things on, you know, work days, so like Monday to Friday, but then weekend I would do sort of like the cleaning and all the chores, which has been great because obviously now lockdown's, you know, relaxed a little bit. That means that, you know, I can go out, you know, for a bit longer, go for a walk, you know, socially distance with some friends. So I'm glad that I sort of did all the nitty gritty stuff at the beginning because now I can just chill a little bit.
I mean, obviously this was, well, I mean, we didn't know this at the beginning. I remember at the beginning when they said, oh yeah, we think this could last till June. I thought, surely not. Surely it's not going to last until June. And then here we are halfway through the month. And it is still, you know, like you said, it's relaxed a little, but it is still here. I mean, in terms of dentistry, obviously patients haven't been able to come in and see you face to face for a little while now. How have you been dealing with that side of things? So obviously I know you have quite a big presence on social media. Have you found that's been quite a useful tool during this time?
Yeah, massively. I think it's, you know, not only have I had my own patients sort of reach out to me, but I've had every day, you know, sort of like new followers, new subscribers, you know, messages in my inbox, because people are looking for help and for answers. And I think there's something to be said for remote contact and, you know, the sort of the future of like teledentistry. You know, now obviously you've got to be careful with what you're saying or what you're doing, but sometimes just to give someone that little bit of peace of mind is all that they could want, you know. And I had a few patients message me with the classic, you know, wisdom teeth pain, the gum, and then just took them through a couple of basic oral hygiene instructions, checked in with them a couple of days later, and you know what, they were like over the moon because obviously it dealt with the situation and the problem, got rid of it, and obviously now they, you know, now they know how to maintain their oral hygiene in that sense going forward. A couple of people concerned about sort of areas in their mouth, and it's really difficult when someone explains over a message, and it's true, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words, and I have had a few people sending pictures, you know, with their finger in their mouth, pulling their cheek out the way, but it's really helped. And you know what, I've given them the peace of mind or helped to, you know, sort of customize their oral hygiene routine to them and answer any simple questions, and also just sort of direct them and guide them. So I think it's been a really useful tool. At the beginning, I also created some blogs around how to look after your teeth at home, created some like visual guides that I let my practices email out to anyone who was obviously happy to receive emails from us. So yeah, it was actually like a really, really good time to sort of jump on building a sort of presence, because people were searching for the information. And I always say, when you're creating content, create content around the questions that people would Google. So like already at the beginning of lockdown, you know, I was Googling like, how do I make my own pizza base? Or, you know, how to do a headstand, you know, things like that. So when you create the content around a question, it will help you sort of like improve your SEO and your, you know, rankings. And it was like, how to brush with an electric toothbrush, or how to get rid of toothache, you know, those things. So yeah, it was a really good time to sort of work on some content around that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, do you think, I know social media is something that you use prior to this, but do you think this has made it really sort of hammered home that social media is an integral and crucial part of your business, sort of in dentistry?
Yes, it's interesting actually, because I think, again, going back to time and having time to finally do the things we've wanted to do, I've seen like a huge peak in, you know, sort of dental professionals now starting like social media platforms. So it's really interesting, because obviously when I started my social media like journey, there was a really small like cohort of like dental professionals utilizing it as a platform. I mean, we're going back to, I graduated in 2015. So that was probably roughly the time I started with my like Instagram, and Rona and I used to work together on a Saturday. So we started just posting fun pictures of us at work together, but actually probably a little bit before then, because I nursed for her while I was at uni.
Okay.
And then, you know, we kind of started both wanting to use it to, you know, essentially it was to reach the public and sort of set the record straight. And when I started, I just, you know, I used to post before and afters, tips, and also a lot of the time call to actions, which was at the time I was building my hygiene book. So I was like, appointments available today, just, you know, 10% off your first clean. So just getting people to sort of be interested. And I think there's something to be said for it, because obviously more and more people are turning to the internet for their source of information, and social media has proved to be, you know, some love it, some hate it. And there is often a fine line as to, you know, where should professionals sit within social media? And obviously you need to be thinking about our behavior, our messaging, you know, patient confidentiality and safety. So there is that sort of fine line between, you know, having fun but also being professional. And I think now, unfortunately, you know, maybe not necessarily in dentistry, but across the medical professionals who've been using social media, they've come under a lot of fire for some of the you know, the paid posts, the sponsorships, you know, and I've had fitness to practice cases raised against them. So while it can be on one hand an amazing tool for not only business but for, you know, public and communication, it's a double-edged sword. You've got to be careful, you know, once it's out there, it's very hard to get things back. So like code of conduct and behavior need to, you know, they everything needs to go like sort of hand in hand, I think. But to sort of come back to what you were saying about online content and things, I think the future of teledentistry and being able to have like remote consultations or say home coaching with a professional online is 100% the future. And there's already companies out there who have worked on platforms. I think what would be great, I think, from my point of view as a hygienist and a trainee therapist, is to have those platforms also sort of developed to help us be a part of them. A lot of them are obviously very heavy dental focus, which is fine. You can adapt them, take out what you want and don't want. But what would be great is if you could sort of almost have like the perio package, or, you know, the home coaching, oral hygiene, you know, package. And then obviously for anything that's dental, that would be out of our scope of practice, to be carried out by someone who is qualified to. And I think as time goes on and the scope of practice for hygienists and therapists continues to evolve and become more prominent, we are perfectly primed to be sort of reducing surgery time, but also sort of increasing our contact with patients. So it kind of just makes sense. And if it means we can all sort of like have a day working from home, that would be great too.
That's a massive, massive bonus. And obviously, I mean, the idea is you want to prevention, right? So you want to be able to sort of relay these messages to patients so that they don't necessarily have to come in and get any sort of major work done. Or
I think also with prevention's one aspect of it, but also the follow-ups as well. You know, often I'll see a patient, like say they come in and they're worried they have an ulcer. And normally we say, you know, self-monitor, and then obviously come back if it hasn't gone away. Now, how nice would it be if you could just ring your patient and just check in with them remotely, and also, you know, sort of have a look how things are improving. You know, say they're continuously missing one sort of area of their gums, you can then call them and you can still kind of have that one-to-one interaction, but you're saving them a trip into this clinic. And sometimes, you know, those little free, you know, those free review appointments, they do sort of rack up. So from like a financial and surgery perspective, perhaps, you know, the future of dentistry with platforms and subscriptions would be a much better way to run, because it gives the patient a sort of long-term investment, but also you're then maximizing your time effectively.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you just mentioned both time and money, but that works on both sides, I think. You know, you said patients don't always want to have to come in, you know, that costs them half of their day, maybe they have to take half a day off of work for that, and it's going to cost them money. But then it also helps you out in terms of both those elements as well. So it's kind of like a win-win situation for both.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, time is money. We're, you know, we're busy, people have lives. You know, some practices aren't open at times to suit their patient needs, or when they are, you know, you've got to book, you know, months and months in advance. So I think there's something to be said about how can we better use our time throughout the day and the week to help, you know, meet demand but also patient needs.
I mean, you mentioned earlier, going back a little bit, but you mentioned this, I think this links in the social media side of things, and you said you've got to be careful, because there is a danger that you can sort of get caught up in sort of regulations and things like that, and you need to make sure you don't say things that can be harmful to the people you're speaking to. But I mean, obviously you said that you've got to find a balance between personal and professional, but do you think it's important to have sort of a bit of a personality in your branding, you know, sort of?
100%. Unless you are the, like, the personality, and that does need to shine through. If all you have up is generic, like, stock images of a surgery, no one's really going to understand, you know. And lots of people, if you look at, say, similar accounts, like dental accounts, either the individual will be there at the forefront. Like, say, for example, I am the face of my brand, so I will scatter myself throughout my story. But something like a dental practice, they may have some contact with their nurses, their specialists, you know, that personality, like, needs to shine through. If it's just very generic, it's not going to be emotive, and you won't get the sort of interaction. And it won't drive, you know, the sort of calls to action that you would probably be using social media for.
I see what you mean. I mean, how did you get so good at that? Because obviously you...
I mean, you're very kind, thank you.
What would you say to people who maybe, okay, I don't know, like you said, you've seen sort of a spike in dental professionals jumping on to social media now during the pandemic. So these people who are maybe starting up and trying to maybe, you know, follow your footsteps in that respect, what would you say to them in terms of doing it well?
For me, obviously, and you know, for example, some of us who were there at the very beginning, you know what, it was a lot of trial and error. You know, Rona and I worked together, so we had the opportunity to show how dental professionals like collaborate with each other, have a little bit of fun with it. I mean, look at someone like Millard, who started, you know, with his parodies and, you know, worked his way up from there. I think now it is a little bit tricky because it is oversaturated.
Okay.
Like when I started, there was only one other hygienist I followed, and that was a hygienist in Amsterdam. Now, when you go on, there are a plethora of hygienists and therapists, dentists who all have like professional profiles, including dental students.
Yeah.
Both hygiene or, you know, therapy and dentistry. And it's no different if you say, look at, for example, those who made it as fitness influencers, for example. You know, you know, it's inundated with them. So standing out perhaps now could seem a little bit more tricky because obviously you're in a sea with a lot more other people. However, it's not impossible. You just got to think outside the box. Because if you're just sort of regurgitating and rechurning other people's work, content or ideas, it does get lost, you know, in that sort of sea of imagery and messaging. But there are plenty of people out there who are sort of, I wouldn't want to say reinventing the wheel, but we kind of are, because it's constantly changing and evolving. You know, all of a sudden now it's like Instagram isn't even, I mean, it's still popular, but now you've got TikTok to contend with as well. And I'm getting to that point now. And I am still young. And even I'm like, who, what? Like, what is this? You know? So it's funny. It's interesting to sort of see. And I think people would benefit from sort of just keeping an eye out for what is trending and what is the future. And just like a little statistic, by 2022, 82% of content online will be video content and viewed on a mobile phone. So that's something to bear in mind as well. You know, perhaps once upon a time, everyone was creating beautiful imagery for Instagram, which was an image platform. But now the future is video. You know, people want to, they're going to watch it on their phones. It's important as well. You know, when you're creating videos, that the subtitles are on there, because a lot of people do watch them, say on public transport or out and about. That's a really interesting trend. I feel, you know, people listening to podcasts, that's something I would never have, you know, sort of thought of doing or listening to myself. And now it really has become sort of like a game changer.
Easy way to consume information, isn't it?
It's exactly.
When you're on the move and the light, like we spoke about earlier, you know, you said prior to this, you know, you had a very busy schedule and it was Monday to Friday and it was just absolutely, you did not have a spare moment to even think about other things. But because people, that is just how we work now. So if you're constantly on the move, podcast videos, like you said, with the subtitles, you don't even have to listen to it if you don't want
to. Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's so interesting how it is changing. And I think, you know, I think it's important to sort of be aware of what is happening in terms of like digital communication, because what's hot today could not be tomorrow. But also if you don't jump on something, for example, like now, you may then regret it later as well. And like going back to the whole like TikTok thing, still not entirely sure how it works or how to place it within, like, say, my business, but I still have the TikTok handle for my business. So I still have London Hygienist as a handle. And I think that's a really important thing to think about. As new things emerge, if you have a brand or a business, do not miss out. Do not let your handle, you know, go, kind of thing. Sweep it up anyway, even if you don't understand or know what to do with it. Because at least that way, then if you then want to use it, you're not trying to get your name back off somebody else. That's like a tiny insurance policy.
I hadn't even thought, because, like, you know, these things can pop up and sometimes they take off and sometimes they don't. So when TikTok first came about, you know, it might have been.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this could be, particularly when it is, because, like you said, it's, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've got my nieces, they know how to use it.
I got it wrong because it's massive.
Yeah, and I don't know what I'm doing. So it is, but you know, sometimes when it is focused at sort of younger generation, it can sort of be very short lived and then die out.
I think that all comes back to thinking, like you say, about like it's almost like a generational thing as well. You know, you need to think as well whenever you doing any sort of branding is, who's your market? You know, who are you aiming at? There was, I read a really interesting piece from Gary Vaynerchuk, and he was talking about a platform where you sort of sing along to something, and there's, again, short videos, something like 8 seconds or whatever. But there was a dentist in America who started doing it, and because kids were watching it, they then were like, I want to go and see her to have my teeth done. So she'd like played into like the whole like sort of that sort of area and the market, and basically managed to get those children as patients through utilizing this like social media platform. So it's really, really interesting. But I would say to anyone who's like sort of looking to embark in like the digital world, going back to the whole name thing, do your research as well. You know, if you are going to embark on, say, branding yourself, either as an individual or a company, make sure that one, no one else already has the name, you know, two, that it's sort of unique to you and your offering, that you can, you know, access it as a website address, that you can use it on social media. And there's nothing worse than coming up with, you know, a great name or idea and then finding out someone else already has it, or, you know, it's not appropriate.
So, I mean, going back to sort of finding this balance in terms of work life, what would you say to people who think, right, if I do get on board this sort of social media side of things, it can take over in a way that can become a little bit out of control? Because I know sometimes I'll be scrolling through and I think, oh, I've just spent about an hour of my time just scrolling aimlessly through things. And I know it's very different on a personal level to maybe business level, but I mean, things like the weekends, do you maintain a presence over the week? Okay.
No. So for me now, once upon a time, yes, it was very much like, I must get content out daily. I must be like monitoring it. Oh, I must be on my phone. And like, I got pulled up by some mates once when I was out, and they caught me on my phone at like 10 o'clock at night. And they were like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, it's a work thing. And they, you know, really did put me in my place. And then all of a sudden it made me realize, like, actually, this is really unhealthy. Often, you know, social media and anxiety have been discussed and spoken about in great deal. My advice would be, and what now works for me, is focus on quality over quantity. Okay. It's better to put out one or two good posts a week than it is to sort of hammer your social media, because what you'll find is that you rush content, you won't get the engagement on it, your grid will look sloppy. So I kind of always sit down and I have a list that I keep at all times of, for example, blog ideas, just in case I'm lacking, you know, like sort of inspiration. And then you need to find your sort of like flow. If you're using social media, you may want to consider, you know, thinking about a color palette or a particular like order in which you want to post things. And I have a sort of order of content that I post, and it tells a story, but it also helps me keep on track, so I know where I am in, oh, what do I need to post next to keep my feed looking, you know, consistent. I wouldn't rush to try and dominate like all platforms in one go. I think, you know, I have an active LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, but perhaps just focus on one, two, and do them, you know, like well. And one of the quickest and easiest ways to do that is just sort of like copy the content. So Facebook and Instagram are linked. So like what I post on Facebook, on Instagram goes on Facebook. And then sometimes what I do is I will then sort of like regurgitate the content onto like other platforms in maybe a slightly different style.
Okay.
You know, so if I wanted to say,
do you plan this?
I mean, some days, some weeks I have like, I'm like, oh yeah, I know what I've got like my next three things lined up. Other times I'm like, I have zero inspiration. And actually, if you have zero inspiration, just don't do anything. It's better to like wait and put something good out. I think for me, having a look at like the calendar and seeing what's going on in terms of, you know, the world or industry is always another really timely way of linking things back. So obviously we've just had Smile Mum, a really good opportunity. You know, there's campaigns out there, the Save Our Smiles as well, things like that. You know, being really sort of like, what is going on outside of your bubble as well? So if I don't necessarily have anything to say from my end, what can I do to continue to support my friends, my colleagues, the industry, the profession? And that's another way of looking at it as well.
Social media stuff is, it's so important now. And like you said earlier, whether you love it or hate it, it's just important. I think it's something you can't I mean, this is my personal opinion, but I don't think it's something you can turn away from anymore. In not just dentistry, but in terms of just business in general.
I think that's another way to like reframe it. So rather than just referring to it as social media all the time, I think it's like refer to it as like digital communication, because whatever platform you choose to use, that's essentially what you are doing. It is serving as a vehicle to convey information. Because I think there's, you know, some generations who are like, oh, I can't do social media, like, well, you know, and people, you know, want to sort of like disregard it as a means of communication. But let's just go back a little bit. Remember, people used to send things using a fax machine, okay?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and now, you know, we've moved on. We've got mobile phones, we've got emails, and now we have these platforms. It's just part of evolution. But it can be a very powerful, you know, tool.
Yeah, it can. If it, like you said, if it's used correctly. But yeah, I know what you mean. I think the phrase social media can scare people because it's so wide and it can be quite daunting. But so if you did sort of just rejig the phrasing a little bit, it can make it seem a little bit more manageable and some, maybe something that people can accomplish.
Yeah, and you know, when I understand that, you know, the sort of generational thing as well, you know, my dad was born during the Second World War, you know, I have taught him how to use a phone with buttons to a touch screen to, you know, WhatsApp and emojis, and like explained things like Facebook, Instagram and TikTok to them, you know, and it's no different for say like us now with all these new platforms coming up and we're like, what? You know, I feel like I'm at that point now where I'm like, oh, makes me feel a little bit almost old, but it's not, it's just an evolution and it's going to continue.
Yeah. I mean, some I've seen over in America, and this isn't necessarily that new actually, but I think it came with when sort of Snapchat became a thing.
Yeah.
And people sort of live streaming procedures and treatments. So from cosmetic treatments, but also dentistry. The dentistry side of things, I've seen people, is that, do you think that's something that is feasible? You know, because there's a lot of people who have said, why, you know, that's, is that something that you can like, carry out safe and quality treatment whilst live streaming it? But do you think that could be something that sort of picks up more in the future?
I mean, this definitely goes back to what I was saying about video content. And also it's worth sort of like mentioning that Google own YouTube. So when you create videos, and then, for example, we're going back to the search thing. So if, say, someone was like, what does professional teeth cleaning look like? You know, not only would they maybe come across a blog that I've written, but they might also find like a video where I'm just talking for 1 minute showing. And I know this has been very popular in like facial aesthetics for like marketing as well. As humans, we are naturally very, very curious beings. So of course we, you know, we're fascinated by like how to, and every day at lunchtime, I've been watching a series on Netflix called like 101 History and How To. And it's like, because I'm just curious. I want to know how things work, how things are made. And I think again, like that's kind of one of the ways I sort of built like my sort of following. You know, I showed the before and afters, like, you know, try and create how-to videos. It's no different to the you know, makeup tutorials that are out there.
Yeah it's true. People, you're right, and people want to, well, with makeup it might be slightly different because people want to you know, you wouldn't want people to start trying to imitate what you're doing in the practice.
No, absolutely not. No. And I don't encourage anyone to, I do not encourage any forms of DIY like dentistry at home or medical procedures. But you know what? There's something to be said for showing people and also getting the right messages out there.
If you've got a fear of the dentist and you're like, right, I don't know what to expect from this upcoming,
exactly,
you know, and you can visually see it and you can see, actually, do you know what, that's not that scary. And then
that's the thing, it's creating that content around, you know, like you say, look, the different types of learning. It's like some people like to listen to podcasts, others are better at reading, others are, you know, like to watch to get their information. So you can't really go wrong with it. And actually the most important thing, which I'm not sure if I said it yet or not, is have fun with it. If you are not having fun, don't do it, okay? If it's not working out for you, you need to also ask yourself, why are you doing it? Why are you embarking on, you know, using social media or digital technology? Like, what do you want from it? Do you want an increase in patients? Do you want call to actions? Do you just want people to follow you? Do you want press opportunities? It's like, what is the outcome going to be? Because obviously that will then really sort of dictate the kind of message and content that you're putting out there.
Definitely. And like you said, people learn in different ways and people want different information, so you know, if you can get it out there both visually, people can listen to it, people can read it, people can watch it, it's gonna sort of encompass a wider audience. And obviously, you know, patients come from, there's no specific type of person who's a patient, that's everybody. So you need to account for everyone. But one last question, one last thing. Well, I always ask this at the end of podcasts, just to take it away from dentistry a little bit. what do you like doing outside of dentistry? Is there something that people might not know about you professionally? That you've never mentioned to anybody or on your social media pages?
Oh. I mean, I think, especially recently, you know, I've been exploring different types of, you know, fitness training exercises. Before lockdown started, I was doing a little bit of running, but it was just something that I wanted to get good at. And I, you know, sort of set myself a goal of being able to run a 10K, which I've now done two. Also exploring cooking. Yeah, lots of cooking. I think another thing as well, I think I've realized how wasteful perhaps I've been in the past and actually how much there was like in my home. So I sort of did the whole like, let's clear the cupboards out and use everything up. And trying to, you know, sort of be a bit more self-sufficient and not necessarily buy certain things. Like I've pretty much baked cookies every week for myself. And also I think something a lot of people may not know about me is I am very curious and I often do a lot of like personal development stuff behind the scenes. I am a little bit of a geek when it comes to things like astrology and, you know, spirituality. So that's something you know, kind of read between the lines and take with a pinch of salt, but it just like sort of fascinates me. So yeah, and obviously, you know, I do miss sort of eating out and I'm desperate to like go away and explore and go on an adventure. But
yeah, have you had to postpone anything this summer?
Yeah, I had two weddings that have been postponed, which is a shame, and just a couple of work trips. But you know what, it is what it is.
It is. Yeah, you're right. And you've just got to, the way I see it as well, I think with all of this is everyone's in the same boat and it's not that sort of, you know, it's not FOMO. It's not fear of missing out. Like there's not everyone's swanning off on holiday and you're the only one who can't do it. You know, everyone's in the same position. So it makes it a little bit easier to cope with.
Right? And I know it's been tough. And I think people have experienced the sort of the hardship of it on various scales, and I'd be lying if I said I've just breezed through this whole thing and loved every minute. You know, there's been some awful days and some difficulties and some challenges and obstacles, but equally I feel this has been a very good time to stop, reflect, grow, reevaluate, you know, plan for the future. So yeah, there's a lot to take away from it, and it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the year unfolds, really.
I mean, I can't even begin to tell you what I think is going to happen.
Even my crystal ball is not working right now.
I take it one day at a time now. I don't think about what if I'm, and I think that's the only, I don't know what else this year can throw at us now, to be honest with you. Thank you so much for chatting to me today.
Thank you so much for having me.